Blind Geek Zone, podcast number 17 for October 1st, 2007. Hey, this is Rick, and welcome to another Blind Geek Zone podcast. I have several things that I'd like to talk to you about today. First, I'm going to talk about a new site that Jeff Bishop told me about last week, and it's called Twitter, and that address is www.twitter.com, T-W-I-T-T-E-R. That's www.twitter.com. What Twitter.com is a, it's more or less like a social messaging site. It's Jeff's kind of called it microblogging, and that's as good as a description as any. What Twitter allows you to do is to post brief update messages about what you're doing. These messages can go to you on the web. You can also get these messages to your cell phone as a text message, and you can also text message back into Twitter from your cell phone. So it allows you to keep track of what your friends are doing even when you're on the go. Twitter also has some functionality on IMs. If you have AOL Instant Messenger, that is supported. MSN Live Messenger isn't supported directly, but if you have MSN Plus installed, which is a add-on for MSN, you can get a plugin that will allow you to use Twitter on MSN. So what you do is you can type messages up to 140 characters in length, and you can put these messages out on Twitter, and your friends can follow them. You can also comment on what other people you're following says. And it's very interesting. I like it. I plan on doing a lot of stuff there. Like, for instance, when this podcast is finished and I get it done editing with it and upload it, I will post a message to Twitter saying that the podcast is finished and uploaded. So this allows me to more or less instantly notify people that are following me of things that are going on. So if you're interested in following me on Twitter, you can do so by typing in www.twitter.com/RHARMON928. That's my Twitter address, and if you put that in, you can follow all the different messages that I'm posting to Twitter. And if you would like to post messages out to Twitter yourself and to me and to others, simply go to twitter.com and join. There is a captcha there, but luckily there is also an audio captcha that you can use. I had no problems using the audio captcha to sign on to Twitter. It was one of the better audio captchas that I've heard. So I hope to see you all there. Once you go to my page, after you've signed into Twitter, you can go to my page, Twitter/RHARMON928. And you can click on the follow link, and you can then follow my discussions. That my posts will automatically go to your Twitter, so you don't have to monitor my page all the time. You can simply see it from your page, and you can monitor other people's pages. So it's really interesting. I like it a lot, and I hope to see you all there. Okay, next, We had some news this weekend that I got off of the Bookport mailing list. Unfortunately, the Bookport 2 has been delayed yet again due to some hardware difficulties, I guess, from one of their hardware vendors. So, unfortunately, they have said they do not know at this time when the new Bookport 2 will be out. But hopefully, they'll get this resolved real soon. And hopefully, after the beginning of the year, it'll be out. I know they've been plagued by a lot of problems, and they've had a hard time getting the unit out. And, the Humanware's Victor Stream is kind of capitalized on this, and they've gotten a lot of people to buy streams, especially since the stream is going to support the NLS digital books. And another thing that come out from the Bookport mailing list this weekend is the fact that they were really hoping to somehow be able to make the original Bookport somehow work with the NLS digital talking books. But they've now announced that unfortunately this is not going to be able to happen. The original Bookport will not be able to do the NLS talking books. And the two reasons that were given for this were: one, the Bookport can't be upgraded any further. The NLS books use an audio codec that's proprietary, and the Bookport uses MP3s, and I guess NLS isn't willing to allow their books to be converted on the PC over to MP3s to go into the Bookport. So that was some bad news from APH, and like I said, hopefully the Bookport 2 won't get delayed forever, but they've been having a string of bad luck. I know they were hoping to have that out in early summer of this year, and unfortunately that hasn't happened. Okay, next, I'll be on Main Menu again tomorrow night. I've posted information on the blog, the Blind Geek Zone blog, as to how you can listen to Main Menu and how you can contact Main Menu. Main Menu is on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern. I believe right now that's 1 o'clock Universal. And what I will be talking about this week is I'll be on live with Jeff Bishop, Daryl Shandro, Randy Knapp, and I forget what the other gentleman's name is. But we will be talking about building PCs from a blindness perspective. We'll all be talking about our experiences at building PCs. Most of my experience at building PCs is sighted, but I have pretty much pretty successfully been able to switch over and still do a lot of my hardware maintenance and building myself here. I can't build everything. There are certain things that you can't do. Or at least I can't do. I guess, some others may have more skills than I at doing it, but there are some things I feel that aren't easy to do. But we'll be talking about that tomorrow night. So hopefully everybody out there listening will either call in to Main Menu, or you can send through the email address, or you can interact through MSN Messenger and ask your questions. All that contact information again is up on the blog, and you can get to the blog from the the Blind Geek Zone website. Just follow it through there. So I hope to see everybody there tomorrow night. I hope some people will call in and ask some questions. Should be very interesting, and I'm looking forward to doing that. Okay, and next, Jaws 9 public beta. We got our first looks Friday at the What's New for Jaws 9. And I don't know, I was kind of disappointed. I expected to see more. I listened to the FS10 podcast talking about Jaws 9. And some of the stuff was interesting, but I kind of took exception to Eric and Jonathan saying some of this stuff was so innovative. I don't know, maybe I'm cynical or something, but it just seemed to me that a lot of the stuff was nice and a lot of the stuff seemed like good updates. You know, fixes, things that should have been already in place. But I don't know. I just don't really see the innovation, and I certainly don't feel that what they've released so far is worthy of charging us an SMA. I really feel that FS just does this every year just to keep, you know, continuing to generate revenues for themselves, and I understand that FS has to generate revenues for themselves or they won't survive. But, you know, a lot of us, and it's not just me, I've talked to a lot of people that are just getting very, very tired of being milked dry by FS and not giving us much in return lately, you know, for it. Some of the new things in Jaws 9 that were kind of, I guess, noteworthy. They've made a lot of strides on Office 2007, you know, making it work better, you know, and that's good, you know, for those of us that are using Office 2007. I don't, so I wasn't too interested in it there. They've made Outlook's calendar work better. They've made Word more responsive. Now, both of these are supposed to trickle down to Office 2003 and Office XP as well, so you know that may be nice. Word is supposed to be much, much more responsive now, but in the beta, these updates are only available for Office 2007. Once the product releases, they're supposed to also work for 2003 and XP as well. So, you know, that's nice. And that's things that, you know, we expect. You know, those are updates. One of the other new things, and I definitely consider this just a catch-up, but they finally support clicking on balloons now in XP. You know, when, you know, say a new piece of hardware is detected, when something wants attention, or you know, when you close MSN down, you know, you get a little pop-up balloon that comes up. And currently in JAWS, you have to use the JAWS cursor and go find a balloon real quick and click on it. Now, WindowEyes and Ceratex System Access have had the ability, I guess, for a while now to click on these balloons and you know, work with them. Now in JAWS 9, JAWS will finally be able to work with balloons as well. What you do is if a balloon comes up, you can press your left mouse click button, which is the key next to the numpad, the num lock on the numpad, and you can click that and you'll go to that balloon and you can work with it. The only problem I kind of see with this is, though, is, you know, they've tied it to the left mouse click button, and, you know, we use the left mouse click button for a lot of things, and, you know, for some reason or another, we're trying to work with something, and, you know, we're trying to click on something, and then a balloon comes up, and, you know, and we click on the left mouse button, and we think we're clicking on our link and we're actually clicking on a balloon. I don't know. I just don't think that's real good design, but I guess time will tell, and we'll see how that goes. But I kind of wished maybe they'd had another key for it, but I guess I understand you have to be able to get to it quickly, and I guess that's a quick way to do it. Another new thing in Jaws 9, and I was really, really disappointed, and I've really been rather vocal about it, and I guess I'm going to kind of be vocal here because I'm very cynical about it. Because Freedom Scientific states that it's just this big, huge innovation in the internet. And I don't know. I've thought about it all weekend, and I just don't see the innovation. While I agree it's really nice, and it's going to be great for when you have to deal with sighted people, it'll be really, really nice. But what they're offering us now is, in the past, when you copy and paste stuff from the internet into the clipboard, say to put it in an email message to send to somebody, this information was pulled out of the virtual buffer and it's been altered, by JAWS, and it's not what the sighted person would see actually from the internet. Now, what JAWS 9 will allow you to do is, when you copy something off the internet into the clipboard and, say paste it back into Outlook or Outlook Express in an HTML setting where you're creating a new message and sending it to, say, somebody sighted, these links and everything will be unaltered. And they'll see exactly what they would see on the internet. They don't get our view of what you would get from the virtual buffer. Now, FS says that this is innovative, and they kind of make it sound like the best thing since sliced bread. And while I agree, it's a very nice feature, and it's needed, I don't understand where it's innovation. Because JAWS pulls information directly from IE's buffers, and it gets that information unaltered. I don't see what the big deal is when you cut and paste to be able to show that to somebody as unaltered. I don't imagine there was that much coding done to make this little trick work. And all they're doing is, well, instead of pulling from the virtual buffer that's been altered, they're pulling it from the IE buffer that hasn't been altered. And it's simply that simple. I don't see what the big deal is. Like I said, it's nice and it'll be real handy, especially for, people, professionals and stuff that are dealing with a lot of sighted people. It'll be really nice. And what you'll have to do now is, if you want the unaltered, or not the unaltered, but the altered view, like we're used to, you'll have to press a key. And I frankly don't know what that is right now, but you'll have to press a key to get it to copy from the virtual buffer to the clipboard. So, it's interesting, but I don't know. It's, I didn't see much on Vista. They had promised a lot of work on Vista, and the what's new really says nothing much about Vista except for the fact that it works with the mobile center now, so you can work with the mobile devices that you hook up to the computer. Some other things that I noticed, and if you're a Gmail user, they now support Gmail, so that's nice. Another thing is, on Yahoo Messenger, it's more like MSN Messenger now. You can hit Alt, 1 or Alt 2 or Alt 3 or Alt 4, and you can view the last up to the last 10 messages. You can now tab back and forth between the history and the input area, and I believe there are a couple other enhancements, and that's nice. But, you know, that really should have been done when Yahoo 7 came out, you know, when it started getting supported in JAWS 7. And they kind of left it for two versions and didn't really do anything much to it. So, that's nice. But, you know, if there's not much more than this done, and there's not a bunch of new stuff in Vista, which there just doesn't seem to be anything, I don't know how happy some people are going to be with this as an SMA, you know, based upgrade that it's going to cost you know, money. This feels to me a more like JAWS 8.5 than JAWS 9. And like I said, it's not just me. I've talked to a lot of other people that feel exactly this way. So, but the public beta supposedly is supposed to be out today, according to Eric Dammery. He sent me an email Friday. I was asking him if it would be out, and he said that it should be out sometime today. Now, as of this recording, I haven't seen it. It's not out yet, so hopefully it will be out very soon. Another thing I seen this week was a message I'd seen on one of the mailing lists that was talking about XP's availability being extended. Microsoft had announced that as of the end of January 2008, you wouldn't be able to get XP anymore, and you wouldn't be able to get it on a new machine anymore. Well, apparently, Microsoft has somewhat reversed their decision. And the message that came out the other day stated that now, through June 30th of 2008, you would still be able to purchase XP and get it on new computers. Dell, at this point, still puts XP on computers. I'm not sure if any of the others do or not, but I know Dell still does. So that's kind of good for the people that just can't, for whatever reason, switch to Vista yet. And just thought I'd pass that little note along in case anybody was interested.
Resume.
Okay, next, I would like to talk about DRM free music. And I had saw on the mailing list the other day an announcement that Amazon now has a DRM free music downloads on their website. And I guess a couple of people checked it out, and it's really accessible. There's only, I guess, like one place you need the JAWS cursor, and even that wasn't really bad. I haven't looked at it much here myself, but the tracks are 89 cents. And you can also buy albums as well. They're DRM free MP3 encoded files. Also, Walmart has started doing this. I think buy.com has started doing this. iTunes has started doing this. And hopefully, finally, the industry is realizing that DRM does not work. You know, I hate to steal music, but I think I almost hate DRM as much. And I've bought a fair share of songs that have DRM on them from Walmart, and if it hadn't been for burning the songs out to CDs, you know, I'd been up the proverbial creek without a paddle, because twice now my licenses have stopped working, and after the second time I just said to hell with it, and I didn't call Walmart back because I was just so disgusted that, you know, I decided, well, anytime I buy a song, I'll just burn it immediately to CD because I can't trust the DRM license to keep working. And This is really a problem, and the industry is going to have to come up with ways to just let us buy music. If you provide us with decent quality music, people are going to break your DRM whether you have it or not. So, just let us pay the price and download the songs. There's plenty of us out there that are more than willing to buy the music if you provide it without DRM on it. And hopefully that will be the case, and that, people will buy these songs that are MP3s and, don't have DRM on them. And I think it's going to be a turning point. If there are enough sales generated in this way, then DRM could definitely, for music could go by the wayside. But I won't hold my breath, but I'm hopeful. So, that was interesting. I thought I would pass that along, and I plan on going out to the Amazon site and buying some music from there and seeing how everything goes. I will post the link to this and to Twitter and to anything else that I talk about with links on it up on the blog, so you can get easy access to them. I don't remember the exact link. It's a rather long link for Amazon, so I can't give it here. But if you go to Amazon.com, you shouldn't have any troubles finding it. But I will put the direct link up on the blog in a post for BGC17 podcast. Okay, what else? Again, please, if you haven't done so, make sure you go out and sign the Yahoo accessibility petition at www.blindwebaccess.com. It's very important that as many people sign that as possible, so we can get Yahoo to give us a audio option for CAPTCHA, since we now have no option except to get a sighted person to come help us. So if you haven't done so, please sign that petition. And also the MySpace petition over at www.marrie.org. And if you'd like to sign that, please do so as well. Okay, that's about it for this time. I just wanted to update you with what was going on around here. And I wanted to make some more attempts to get some stuff up a little bit quicker onto the website. Like I said, I haven't put as much stuff up this last month as I would like to. And honestly, I'm kind of running out of things to do tutorials on at the moment. So, like I said on last podcast, if anybody would like to contribute something, audio to the website, contact me by email and let me know. What I'm going to do here in the next week or so is I'm going to put a link up on the website with the FTP username and password, so anybody that is interested can actually just click on that, and you can plug that into your FTP program that you use, and you can send your files directly up into my incoming section. And hopefully some of you will have stuff out there that you'd like to contribute. I pretty much welcome anything that is technical in origin. If you have a demonstration of a gadget, or maybe you've did a tutorial on a program or whatever, if you'd like to submit it up to the site, I'd be more than happy to post it for you and give you credit for it and everything. So that would help me out a great deal, if anybody would do so. It's kind of hard to continually come up with content for the website. So thanks for anybody that considers doing that. Okay, that wraps up this podcast, and I thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I'll talk to you next time. Here's my contact information. My website is the Blind Geek Zone. The address is www.blind-geek-zone.net. My Skype ID is rharmon928. That's rharmon928. My MSN contact information is rharmon928@hotmail.com. My email address is rharmon, that's rharmon, at blind-geek-zone.net. If you have any questions or comments on any of the audio recordings I've done, any of the podcasts, tutorials, or demos, please feel free to contact me. If you're in need of training or technical support or website development assistance, please feel free to contact me. If you have any other comments or suggestions, please feel free to contact me.